Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Comcast is looking to merge with Time Warner Cable. The $45 billion deal would create a communications mega giant, but will the public's interest be served? Or will we get more of the same, or even worse? Do you dread the Comcast merger? Are you cheering it on? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or write directly on our show page on the website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour is Dilara Derikshani. She is the Policy Counsel for Consumers Union, Advocacy Arm for Consumer Reports, and Chris Lewis, Vice President of Government Affairs at Public Knowledge, a public interest group concerned about choice in the digital marketplace. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, David.
Chris, let me ask you, what is the big fear? What's the boogeyman? What are we afraid of here?
You know, I think the big fear is that, you know, a combined Comcast-Time Warner company has just many tools to serve as a gatekeeper for the marketplace around broadband. You know, these companies started as cable companies but are making a lot of their money and are expanding because of the access to the Internet that they provide. And when combined, these companies would they would be about 40 to 50%, give or take, depending on the study you look at, 40 or 50% of the high-speed broadband marketplace. And that would put them in a tremendously powerful position to control prices for content, as well as access to websites and many other marketplaces, such as the device marketplace. So we're very concerned about their impact on a variety of markets around broadband.
So, Dilara, the consumer point of view. Here we are. We definitely feel like we are at the mercy of our cable companies. Would that get worse under if this merger goes through?
Absolutely. So, in short, we think this is a deal that's going to result in higher prices, fewer choices, and worse customer service. And part of our job here at Consumers Union and Consumer Reports is to speak to the public. After all, these are the folks who are going to be most impacted by this merger. And in an April 2014 Consumer Reports national survey, we found that most Americans actually are opposed to the merger, and only 11% support it. And so, you know, these are companies that are notorious for poor customer service, despite continuously rising prices. And so consumers nationwide have told us that they're dissatisfied, and our fear is that it's only going to get worse.
Well, we don't really have, as far as cable choice goes, a decision. You know, I don't get to decide whether I want Comcast or Time Warner. I'm locked in through my geography. So what difference does it make as far as a consumer goes if I have a choice between nothing and a bigger nothing? Dilara?
Well, that's a significant problem. You know, the fact that consumers have no choice, you know, the argument has been made that, oh, because there's no direct competition, this isn't going to hurt consumers. But in fact, we think and consumers think that it really has the potential to result in higher prices and fewer choices. And as Chris touched on, this would give the combined companies unprecedented power and dominance in the marketplace.
And so, Chris, is this really about the cable box or is this about my Internet access?
It's about both. You know, there are many tools in the toolbox for a company as dominant as a combined Time Warner Cable to impact various markets. I mean, yes, it's about your Internet pipe. You know, currently Comcast, for example, caps how much data you can use on their Internet service. And so Time Warner customers who have not been subject to data caps would then be subject to data caps. And those caps are really arbitrary. They have nothing to do with how much congestion is coming over the pipe. So it is about your pipe, but it's also about your device. When it comes to the device marketplace, you know, the cable companies want to control that marketplace. I'm sure they're very concerned about the potential for competition in what we call over-the-top video or online video through new devices. And you see them coming out every day, whether it's Roku or Boxy or your Xbox. You can get wonderful new video, and with Amazon coming out with their new Fire product, hopefully not only video of second run television shows, but also new original content that Amazon is committed to producing on its own. That's some serious competition for Comcast. And
yeah, but if Comcast owns the cable, then they're able to choke off some of that competition and make people drive them toward the cable box, right, Tom or Chris?
Yeah, they can also control the market for those devices, those set-top boxes, those devices that give you access. And with that, cut off these potential competitors.
All right, so we're seeing this being discussed where? Who is going to decide whether this is going to happen, Delara?
So the deal is currently being looked at by the Department of Justice and the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. Part of this discussion has to do with the concept of what's called net neutrality. The FCC is actually considering new rules right now that would allow Internet service providers, these companies that deliver Internet access to your home, to sell preferential access, to give, in exchange for payment, quicker access to consumers to the companies that are willing to pay for it. And we're concerned about this devolving into a two-tiered Internet where the companies with the deepest pockets are the only ones that are able to reach consumers while everyone else is stuck in a dirt road, slower lane of the Internet.
Right. So it's not just about how fast you're able to download videos or whether or not you're going to be looking at buffers on YouTube, but this impacts people's businesses, also impacts education opportunities, Delara.
Absolutely. And small businesses as well who may not have the resources to survive. The next Facebook, the next Google essentially may not be able to emerge in the face of such a new landscape.
So we're counting on Washington, D.C. to stand up to this big mega merger. Not a great track record there, Chris Lewis.
No, but we don't just count on Washington to do the right thing. They need to hear from people. And whether it's the net neutrality proceeding that Delara mentioned that recently closed their initial comment period at the FCC and had a record-breaking number of comments, over 1 million comments at the FCC, or if it's contacting your member of Congress because you don't want this merger to go through, and the comment period for the Comcast-Time Warner merger has just been open for 12 days, so that you can still comment at the FCC on that as well. They need to hear from folks because they're hearing from these companies that want the merger. They have dozens and dozens of lobbyists, paid lobbyists in town, and so these agencies need to hear from the American people as well.
Okay.
Absolutely. If I could actually jump on that.
Okay, well, can you hold that thought? Tell me when we come back from break. And our phone number, if you want to join the conversation, we're talking about this Time Warner Comcast Megazillion merger. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email us your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
We'd like to disconnect, please.
Okay, so why is it that you don't want the faster speed? Help me understand why you don't want faster internet.
Help me understand why you can't just disconnect us.
Because my job is to have a conversation with you about keeping your service, about finding out why it is that you're looking to cancel the service.
I don't understand.
Talk to me, you can definitely go into the Comcast store and disconnect your service there. Okay.
We're just asking
for you to kill two birds with one stone. You got to return that cable card to the store anyways.
We're actually going to just mail the cable card in, but if you can just please cancel our service, that would be great. That's all.
We actually
that is all we want.
We're actually not able to return a cable card by mail.
then I will send someone like a TaskRabbit to go return the cable card for us. I don't personally intend to go return the cable card. That's why we're probably not going to be canceling in store. So that's why I need you to cancel.
This is The Source on KSTX. This week, the world was reminded of the quality of customer service that Comcast provides. Thanks to the recording of this service call, it showed people, it was a guy trying to cancel his service with Comcast, and he just couldn't convince the guy on the other end of the line to do what he wanted to do. We're talking about a Comcast proposed merger with Time Warner Cable. With me to talk about that is Dalara Derikshani, and she's the Public Policy Counsel for Consumers Union, an advocacy arm of Consumer Reports. And we've also got Chris Lewis, Vice President of Government Affairs at Public Knowledge, a public interest group concerned about choice in the digital marketplace. So, Dalara, what did you think when you heard that call?
You know what? It's worrisome to me. This is a company that is notorious for poor customer service. And it's actually not only Comcast, it's Time Warner Cable as well. One of our latest reader surveys at Consumer Reports ranked both of these companies poorly in customer satisfaction for TV service and Internet service. I think Comcast ranked 15th among 17 providers, while Time Warner Cable ranked 16th. So, you know, it's hard to see how combining these two companies with this type of reputation, already have a poor track record with consumers, how it would somehow improve the situation.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. What do you think about this proposed merger of these telecommunications bigwigs, Time Warner and Comcast? George has called in. George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, y'all. Dalara, I would like to kind of address this to you. How is this any different than my situation where my provider in the area where I am in is going to be rolling out 100 megabit per second service, okay? Now, how is it any different that I'm going to be getting that where I am and other people in other parts of the city or the county might not be? Why is it proper that everybody have the exact same thing? And the same thing goes with people that advertise on the net. They all buy the spots. We know that. It's nothing new. So what really is the argument? Is it that you've got two poor performing companies that want to join together and become one big bad performing company? They'll buy. There's nothing to worry about, it seems to me.
So I think the customer service aspect of the conversation is just one piece of the conversation. What we're really concerned about is the fact that this deal would, in conjunction with a potentially weak set of net neutrality rules at the FCC, would give these companies completely new power to play favorites and to control the quality, speed, and availability of programming that ultimately reaches consumers. And the fact that this would have ripple effects throughout the entire industry. It wouldn't just affect the customers of Time Warner Cable and Comcast. We're concerned that it would affect all customers.
So, Chris Lewis, let me ask you over at Public Government Affairs at Public Knowledge, compared to what we see, say, like in Europe with their choices and their products, how do we compare, and would this make us more, I mean, I hear their Internet's faster and the cable's not as expensive, and would we be able to get to that point?
No, you've got it exactly right. In many other countries, and including many European countries, they are getting faster service and for much cheaper than we are in America. And, you know, a lot of that is because of lack of competition, cable companies dominate in the ability to provide high-speed broadband, and they choose not to compete against each other. You know, a mega merger between the two largest would just allow them to continue these practices. You know, it's unfortunate that the gentleman who called in, you know, he can get high-speed 100 megabit where he lives, and he says across town they can't. You know, this is the communications network of the United States, and everyone's connection to commerce and the economy and education runs over these new internet IP protocol networks. And if we aren't making sure that everyone is able to be connected to that marketplace, to those opportunities to get jobs and education, then we're not serving all Americans. This is what the Communications Act was written for, and we need to make sure that we're protecting those opportunities for all Americans.
So you're saying that if there's some parts of the network that are dragging in the dirt, not able to keep up, then they're basically holding the whole network back.
I'm saying that if there are some communities that don't have access to comparable service and at a reasonable rate or a reasonable price, then we're not serving all Americans in a way where they can flourish and be successful in our current economy and our current society. So these mergers are a part of it because, when these companies are not merged, when they're smaller, there's opportunities for competition to flourish in different categories. I talked about the video marketplace where we have a great hope for online video to be a competitor. That can bring down pricing when people have choices for where they get their video, whether it's from cable or satellite or over the top online. That can affect consumer prices, and that can force companies to compete and look for new markets to roll out and improve their services in.
So, Dallara, it doesn't give a whole lot of confidence that we're able to fight the system if the new chair of the FCC is a former cable lobbyist.
So I think it's really important for regulators to take a really hard look at these deals. We're at the beginning of a many-month-long process with many rounds of comments and opportunity for the public to weigh in. And right now I think the best thing that the public can do is to make their concerns about this merger known to the FCC. The FCC's job is to look out for what's called the public interest of consumers when it comes to communication services. So it's our hope that all policymakers, including regulators such as the FCC, will take a good, hard look at this deal.
Okay, let's get another caller on the line. The number, if you want to join the conversation, is 210-614-8980. Call in like Ron did. Ron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I had this question. Isn't Comcast one of the companies that screwed business companies out of extra money just by claiming their bandwidth was clogging all the pipes? And the instant Netflix and companies like that agreed to pay more, the bandwidth problem mysteriously went away. It seems like if they're willing to screw the people they work with on a daily business basis, they'd certainly be willing to screw the customer like me.
All right, Ryan, thank you for calling in and giving us that information. Chris?
That's a great example, and we only know so much about that business deal. What he mentioned is right, that when Netflix did cut a deal with Comcast, they saw their speeds increase. The particulars of that deal is a private between those two companies, and so we don't know what Netflix did or how much they paid in order to gain better access to the ports and the consumers that Comcast controls. But we do know that it's a concern companies like Comcast that are a gatekeeper to millions of customers can exact some sort of toll on a company. And we don't know if it's market-based or not. We just know that consumers were hurt and did not have a fast enough service for however many weeks until that deal was cut. And we've seen that over and over again in the media landscape. We've seen it in retransmission consent negotiations, and it's a shame we're now starting to see it in the Internet.
So, Dallara, if the FCC is not willing to try to stop this merger, what about New York State? They're trying to show that they have some muscle here.
So I wouldn't say that the FCC has at all. I would not say that they've indicated that they're not willing to look at this deal. Like I said, we're at the beginning of a many-month process. Now, many states have taken a particular interest as well in the merger, and this is important to bring attention to many of the issues. And it also reiterates that, folks across the nation in a number of states are going to be negatively impacted by this.
Okay. All right. So let's get Brad on the line. He's called in. Brad, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question is, why can't they break up these, like they did the Bell Telephone Company and AT&T, where they allowed, they had to allow smaller companies to use their network. I think they can't break these companies up like that.
Okay, Brad.
Force competition.
Thanks for the call, Brad. Chris Lewis.
That's a great question. You know, I would really welcome if the FCC took a longer view at these mergers. I mean, Comcast, Time Warner Cable is not the only merger that's been proposed. AT&T has proposed a merger with DirecTV, and they say that is in direct response to their need to try and compete with a combined Comcast and Time Warner. We hear about other potential mergers in the media marketplace coming on down the road. And so what is more concerning than this one merger is that there's kind of a wave of consolidation moving through
right.
communications.
And so one thing we should do is have the Internet seen as a utility, try and get our congresspeople to jump on board that notion. All right, Chris Lewis, Vice President of Government Affairs at Public Knowledge. And also we're joined by Dilara DeRikshani. She is with Consumers Union of Consumer Reports. This is the Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.